All right, starting in Romans chapter 5. Let's start with verse 9. Since we have now been justified by His blood, Jesus, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? If we are justified to enter into God's presence through Jesus' death, how much more will we receive the resurrection of the dead through Jesus if we continue in faith, right? That's what it's saying. For if when we were God's enemies, sinners, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Now, when we were reconciled to God, we were reconciled as sinners. We were His enemies. I want to tell you a truth here. You were reconciled when you were a sinner, not when you were righteous. You were reconciled as a sinner. That was your nature, as an enemy of God. What makes you not an enemy of God is not the fact you're no longer a sinner. What makes you the not an enemy of God is the fact that Jesus is not a sinner. Listen to what it says. Since now we've been justified through His blood, how much more will we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. It's nothing you could do. You could not change your nature. You were a sinner. You were reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, through His righteousness. So you have His righteousness attributed to you. It's not a righteousness of your own that you produced, is it? Or that you had by nature. So you are first and foremost a sinner saved through the grace of God, demonstrated through Jesus Christ, right? Now, if you as a sinner have been reconciled to God, how much more shall you be saved through His life, the resurrection of the dead? If you as a sinner been reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, will you be saved through His life? How much more will you be saved from God's wrath? Because God's wrath is upon sinners. You see how these two things work together. Now, this is necessary to understand what comes next. So, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, verse 12, and death through sin, in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin was not taken into account where there is no law. Now, I want you to think this about what we've just recently learned about Adam and Eve. And let's prove it. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin was not taken into account where there is no law. Can we say the same about the garden? That sin was in the garden, but sin was not taken into account where there was no commandment. Only through the commandment can sin be taken into account. So by saying that sin was in the world, listen to it closely. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin was not taken into account where there is no law. Let's prove it. Satan, the embodiment of sin, the father of it, was in the garden, wasn't he? The serpent. Sin was in the garden, but sin was not taken into account until the commandment. And it's only through the commandment that Satan can accuse you of sin if you break it. Sin was there, but it wasn't taken into account. Sin was there with Adam and Eve, but it was not taken into account until they broke the commandment. And so it was. Sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. Adam was a pattern of the one to come, Jesus. Now, listen to what it says closely. Before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin was not taken into account where there is no law. So all those people from Adam until the time of Moses, before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin was not counted against them. Because where there is no law, there is no sin. Nevertheless, though, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. So sin was really still in them and killing them, wasn't it? And the fact is, if Adam and Eve hadn't been dependent upon God in the garden and been renewed by walking with God, they would have died by nature. Because it was their nature to die. You've got to understand about the nature of sin. Now, we're going to learn something here. Nevertheless, death reigned through from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam. Because when Adam sinned, notice, this is how sin was passed down to all men. All of his children were born into the fact that he didn't have a relationship with God. None of his children were born into the fact that he did have a relationship with God. In other words, none of his children were born until after he sinned. He had already lost that communion with God, hadn't he? So all of his children were born into that fact that they did not have a communion with God. Therefore, they were born into his corruption. They were not renewed. You see it? There was no difference between Adam and Eve and their children. If their children had been born into that communion, they too would have been renewed. But they were born outside of that communion, and therefore not renewed. And death began to work in them. They were born into that perverted nature of Adam, that corruption. And therefore born into that corruption, they began to corrupt. Now death was going to kill them. But there was no law. From the time of Adam to the time of Moses, the law had not been given. So there was no law to convict them of sin and say, this is sin. Adam's children. And their children, and their children, and their children. From the time of Adam to the time of Moses. But sin was still killing them all, wasn't it? This exposes sin as a nature before it's an act. The law only judges the act of sin, and therefore the body, because that's the actor. But your spirit's in union with that body, so that when the body dies, your spirit goes with it. It's the judgment of the soul, isn't it? It's a corrupt soul. And if your spirit's in union with it when the body dies, guess what? Your spirit's got to go with it. In the same way that when Eve sinned, Adam went with her. They were in union. This will explain why Adam partook of the fruit when Eve gave it to her. He was in union with Eve, where he was not in union with God, as he should have been. See, that's the perversion, isn't it? He was in union with Eve. That way, where the body goes, he goes. What the body does, he does. So if the body has died and put in the grave, guess what? The spirit is attached to that body in that union of the soul. And it has to go where the body goes. So if the body dies and goes into the grave, guess what? The spirit has to go into the spiritual counterpart of death, cut off from God, and held in reserve for judgment. Hell. That is the prison of spirits. That is the grave for spirits. You see it? So that when your body dies... Now, the judgment was to die in the body, but you're removed from the land of the living when your body dies. That's what keeps you here on the earth, the land of the living, as Solomon would call it. So that when the body dies, the spirit has to go where the body goes. Because it's in union, in that corrupt union. Jesus changes that, doesn't he? First, he releases our spirit from having to obey the body and its lusts, that soul. He releases it from having to be a slave to the body's desires. Causes a separation. The body is dead because of sin, the spirit is alive because of righteousness. And then sin is condemned, that soul, that union, in the body. So that when the body dies, that union dies with it. The spirit being free. And then the body can be redeemed clean through the resurrection. And this is the basis of our gospel. But when we're reading this, it tells us that nevertheless death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command as did Adam. So sin was still in them and killing them. Every one of them. Now, from here we need to go to Romans chapter 2 and understand a little bit about this. Instead of looking at the group of people from Adam until the time of Moses, that line of succession that ended up in Israel through Abraham, and therefore that Moses went to redeem out of Israel, because that's the group of people we're dealing with there. Sin was in them and going to kill them, but they weren't. But where there was no law, they weren't judged of sin by a law. But the sin, the nature, was going to end in death, wasn't it? See, to men, it became natural to die. And it's only through the knowledge of good and evil, the law, that we see that it's not natural to die. It's a consequence of sin. Death is a consequence of sin. Because sin cuts you off from God, who is the nature of life. So death is a consequence of sin. Because as long as, even though they were just flesh and blood, as long as they'd have dwelt with God, they'd have been renewed. Right? So death wouldn't have come. But they were given over to death, to that nature, because that's what they chose, to stand on their own instead of with God. So now we're going to see this demonstrated in a different set of groups. Instead of just the people from Adam till Moses in that line of the Jews, we're going to see the difference between Jews and Gentiles, between those who have the law and those who don't have the law. The Gentiles weren't given the law, the Jews were. And it tells us this. Verse 12, all who sin apart from the law also perish apart from the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. Now, who is it that sins apart from the law? The Gentiles. Those who have no knowledge of God or of the law. It tells us this about the Gentiles in Ephesians chapter 2 here. Let me read this to you. Let's see the difference between those who die apart from the law and those who perish by the judgment of the law. As for you, speaking of the Gentiles, to the Ephesians who were Gentiles, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work of those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, whether Jew or Gentile, right? Gratifying the cravings of our sinful natures, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. All have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God, right? Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners, enemies of God. So we were all objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ Jesus. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace that if you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. In the sin nature you cannot please God, right? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Now notice the difference here. you who are called uncircumcised by those who call themselves circumcised. That was only done by hands in the bodies of, you know, by men, right? That circumcision. But notice that according to God, from his inference here, all men are considered uncircumcised unless they're circumcised by the heart. Keep that in mind. It's going to be important later. All men, Jew or Gentile, considered sinners. Right? Even though the Jews were given the law and called themselves circumcised. The true circumcision was never one in the flesh. It was always one of the heart. The true man of God was never Adam. It was always Christ, the new man. It was always the spirit and not the flesh. Keep this in mind. So remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves a circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants and the promise, without hope and without God in the world. And that's why everyone who didn't have the law, they were considered cut off from God, weren't they? But now in Christ, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, Jew and Gentile, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. Jesus, through his flesh, has abolished the law with its commandments and regulations. So the point we wanted to establish here is that the Gentiles were far away from God, not having a covenant with God. The Jews had a covenant with God they couldn't fulfill, the law. So it tells us, all who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. And this shows you, if you don't have the law, there's nothing convicting you of sin, but sin as a nature is still in you and killing you. Just like those who from Adam until Moses did not sin, but still died. Because death is a consequence of sin. So all who sin apart from the law will perish apart from the law. That's not a judgment. That's the eventuality. You know, when an apple falls from the tree and begins to rot, you don't call that a judgment, do you? It's the eventuality of corruption. Because corruption will corrupt absolutely. But for the Jew, it's a judgment. All who sin under the law will be judged by the law. And that judgment is the same, death, huh? See, by judging the actions and labeling them as transgressions, it could show us that the law... It could show us a nature through what we did. The law could show us a nature through what we did by labeling our actions as transgressions and adding a penalty to those transgressions of death. It showed us sin, that nature ends in death. And it showed it by what we do. So the Jews were judged through what they did. It pointed that sin nature that was in them and going to kill them anyway. So it was a judgment of death that Jews should die according to the flesh. But it is an eventuality that Gentiles were dying according to the flesh. You see that? It's the eventuality of corruption. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but those who obey the law, who will be declared righteous. And nobody has, the law has declared no one righteous, has it? But Jesus. Indeed, when Gentiles, and we're going to discover how this is, It tells you right here how Gentiles can do by nature the things of God. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they're a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law, since they show the righteous requirements of the law are written on their hearts and consciences, and also bearing witnesses and their thoughts now accusing, even defending them. This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as mighty gospel declares. So if a Gentile does by nature the things of the law, he shows that the requirements of the law are written on his heart, doesn't he? How is that possible? Well, it tells us this. Let's look at this. It says in verse 25, circumcision has value if you observe the law, but if you break the law, you become as though you have not been circumcised. If those who are not circumcised keep the law's requirement, will they not be regarded as if they were circumcised? The one who has not been circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will condemn you, even though you have the written code and circumcision, are a lawbreaker. If a man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but God. So, if you're circumcised in the heart, and you by nature do the things that the law requires, by nature do them, then your nature has been changed, huh? And it is the Spirit who has performed that circumcision. So those who do by nature the things required of the law are those who are of Christ. These Gentiles who have come in through faith. They show that the righteous requirements of the law are written on their hearts. How is it written? Through the Holy Spirit, right? Circumcision of the heart. But if the Jews, they call themselves a Jew, if you rely on the law and brag about your relationship to God through the law, if you know His will and approve what is superior because you're instructed by the law, if you're convinced that you're a guide for the blind and a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of infants, because in the law you have the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? Well, those Jews, of course they did, didn't they? You who say to people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Of course they did, didn't they? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? Now let's look at that for a second. They abhorred idols, but they robbed temples. In other words, they felt it was open season. This is how they justified it. They wanted the gold and stuff and the silver those idols were made of. And so they would rob the temple, saying, "Ah, that's Gentiles. God don't care if we rob the Gentiles. They don't count. And it's false gods anyway, you know." So they justified their sin of robbing, didn't they? And they tried to use the law to do it. And he's trying to make a point here. Theft is theft. Stealing is stealing. You who say you abhor idols, do you rob temples? Because you covet those idols, don't you? So it goes on, it says, you who brag about the law, do you dishonor God by bragging of law? Of course they did. As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. So it shows the difference. If a Gentile has his nature changed, and he shows that he has the righteous requirements of the law written upon his heart, even though he didn't ever follow the law as a Jew, he's accepted by God because he has a circumcision of the heart and he is a Jew inwardly. But if you're only a Jew outwardly and claim your relationship to God is because you were given the law and you're a physical child of Abraham, if you break the law, then you show that you are a lawbreaker, don't you? So we learn two things from this overall passage. Two important things. One, sin is a nature first and foremost. Those who sin apart from the law, the Gentiles, will perish. Sin is going to kill them. It's corruption. It's a nature of corruption. Will perish apart from the law. It's not a judgment. It's an eventuality. But for the Jews, because they were given the law to judge what is good and bad and could not yet fulfill it, they're judged by the law, and it's the same penalty, death. And it shows you that the reason the law was given is to convict you of sin, to show you that you had a sin nature of corruption. Now, the Gentiles died without having the law. The Jews had the advantage of seeing through the law that they had a sin nature. And therefore, they should have turned for God to provide the sacrifice. That's what mixing the law with faith is. But they didn't. They justified themselves because God had given them the law. We're the true people of God because we're the only ones who have the law. But they didn't obey it. And what good is having the law if you don't obey it? And they couldn't obey it. And they never mixed it with faith so that they could be accepted. They never looked for God to provide the sacrifice. They tried to justify themselves. So it's not just having the law that makes you right with God. It's not you keeping the law according to your idea of how to keep it that makes you right with God. The fact is, all men are under sin, Jew or Gentile alike. The Jew will perish by the law's judgment, and the Gentile will perish without the law's judgment, because sin is a nature in both of them, killing them both, just like we read from Ephesians. And we know that a man is justified through faith, not through the keeping of the law or the observance of the law. Faith. Because it's only through faith that the Holy Spirit can come in and change your nature, where you will do by nature the things required of the law. That nature changed. Because a Jew is not one that's one outwardly. No, a Jew is one that is one inwardly. And a circumcision is a circumcision of the heart. All right, now this is the first part of what we're going to discuss by the law, about the law. You have to understand how these commandments point us back to a nature of sin when we can't fulfill them. God gave us a law we couldn't keep of ourselves. It showed us that we needed faith for God to provide a way to justify us. And Jesus is that sacrifice that does. That was the purpose of the law. To show us our need for a Savior. And that only God would provide it. To look in faith to God. Because we'd never be able to fulfill that law apart from faith. It takes God to fulfill that law in us. And He did fulfill the law through Christ. And He's fulfilling it now in you through Christ. That circumcision of the heart, whereby you're dead with Christ, so that you may live with Him. We'll continue on with the second part of the law tomorrow.